Welcome into the Poetry Tavern, a place to discuss both reading and writing poetry, spotlighting new poems and ideas every week. Hello all, and welcome into the Poetry Tavern. My name's Charlotte, I'm your host as always. And this week we're doing an episode on puns. I think puns are really fun. There's loads of people who are like, oh, it's a really poor form of comedy. It's really, like, no, it's fun. It's clever wordplay. It's all these little things. And I never considered poetry that uses puns all that seriously. I mean, there's wordplay, but then I think puns are almost seen as something silly or immature in its sophistication. Why am I stretching my S's? I have no idea. But I found some poems when I went digging, of more poems than I thought I would find, that, like, do have more of a serious tone, but include puns. And I've picked two poems that include puns in different ways. So let's get into talking about them. So our first poem today is going to be Table Games by Sarah Kay. Now I'm going to read it out from a transcript I found of the poem, but I really recommend going and checking out the version that Sarah Kay performs herself. I think there's a lot of emotion in it that comes from it being a very personal poem. So if you just search Table Games, Sarah Kay, find it that way. It's watching her perform it is just, oh, it's got some zest. Anyway, let's get into it. At restaurants, our favourite game was to touch an object on the table and casually offer a pun into the existing conversation. Touching the pepper grinder, I might say, you crack me up. Then you would graze your knife and declare, that's a sharp observation. I would hold my water glass and caution, don't get too full of yourself. And you would nod seriously and apologise, you're right, I'm sorry, as you took the pen to sign the cheque. Back and forth we went, eyes shifting from napkin to soup spoon, considering the tabletop like a chessboard, giggling about our secrets from the waiters. The best, of course, was when a new object was introduced to the table. Something surprising or difficult to manoeuvre into wordplay. Something that left both of us staring hard and silent, racing each other's brains to the cleverest quip. You were always faster than I. I could not keep up with your lightning mind, and rejoiced instead in the satisfaction it gave you to beat me to the punchline. To see you beam at your own wit. And then at me, your favourite audience. Food always tastes more delicious when you feel victorious. Maybe this is why people like to hunt. The day you broke up with me, you brought me to Whole Foods for lunch. This is a pain because there are so many of them in New York City, and they each look the same, and so now each one looks like the scene of the crime. After you told me you'd forgotten my name in so many other mouths, I said, it's okay, and held your hand while you cried. If I had been just a little bit faster, I would have reached for the paper napkin holder and said, thank you for dispensing this knowledge to me. It would have not been one of my stronger puns, but it might have made you laugh, which is still what I wanted most of all in that moment. I could have said, let's table this for later, and knocked on the counter between us, or, I guess I was more disposable than I thought, as I reached for a plastic spoon. Maybe, wow, you sure kept this information contained, with a nod to the takeout box. I can't believe you kept a lid on this for so long. As I take a swig of water, I bet it was really hard to keep bottled up. Maybe I could have shouted a line about every single product on the shelves as I threw them to the ground, winding backwards through each aisle to the exit. Could you imagine the response I would have gotten? Employees wiping their hands on their green aprons, pausing from shelving the quinoa, turning to see the crazy pun lady go out with a bang. I could have delivered one final zinger, shouting, I've never felt more betrayed, as I pushed over the entire display of violent roots, causing every shopping cart wheeling mum to burst into a sympathetic applause as I bow my way out. Actually, I doubt anyone would even notice. I'm sure wilder things happen in Whole Foods all the time. Instead, I said, it's okay, which was the opposite of what I meant. I meant, it's not okay. I meant, why? I meant, please don't leave me. I meant, I've loved you for 5 years. I meant, who will I play with when the waiters aren't looking? Who will I race to impress with my banter? Who will smile at me when he reaches the punchline first, delighted that he has won? Now, I really enjoyed this. Like, I watched it first, and then I read it through, and I actually, like, took in what it was saying. And it's really... I mean, it's not fun, but it's fun to look at, and, like, from the perspective of poetry. Yeah, it is so good. I think it's really interesting that it talks about this relationship through these puns, and, like, we see this sort of sweet beginning, or this sweet game that they've played, and it becomes soured by the end as she tries to hold on. Like, she doesn't say these things out loud, but in thinking them, in sort of processing what's going on in this way, we see her trying to hold on to this game as, like, one of the last things between them. Like, she talks about enjoying watching him win, and I think it's so interesting that it ends on talking about him winning, because he is the one who has control over the start and end of this relationship. He is the one who, like, it's just, oh, like, and he's the one who, you know, while she thought they were in a good relationship, I assume based on the poem, he was, from what it says, probably having affairs. And it's like, so interesting that it's framed that he won in this interaction, at least from the way I'm reading it. But, like, yeah, absolutely go and watch this one be performed. Go and watch the video. It's just one of those ones. I don't have a lot of words to say other than I love this poem, and I just had to, like, feature it. It uses puns rather than in this sort of baking the puns in and not talking about the fact that there's puns. It talks about them because they are almost one of the focuses of this poem, is this game of puns they play, the table game they play. And I just think it's so interesting. Okay, so our next poem is Countdown to Heartbreak by Spencer Craig. I've just realised as I'm reading this aloud that both poems I picked were about the relationships and the breakdown of relationships and heartbreak. But that was unintentional. This is an episode about puns, not heartbreak. I maybe will do a heartbreak episode down the line. But for now, let's get into Countdown to Heartbreak by Spencer Craig. You tossed my feelings back and forth like a tennis ball. It was so asinine to think you cared at all. You make it out like you want to mate, but end up stealing my heart, which isn't conducive in my healing. You make me sick. With me, you didn't have a rival. I used to think you were necessary for my survival. Therefore, from here on, I won't allow you to crush me. No more thrill seeing my reaction when you touch me. I don't understand people who just get together to make you think you won and blow you off like a feather. I half had enough, and this topic's not mute. I have zeroed in on my target, and I'm ready to shoot. So as you can probably tell as I was reading through that, there is, in each line, a number. It's a 12-line poem. It starts 10, 9, and then gets down to half and then zero. So I think, yeah, it's very literally a countdown to heartbreak. It is the countdown to what I assume is the end of their relationship, as the speaker has the realization that the person they're in this relationship with the person they're in a relationship with isn't, maybe that this person, you know, is knowingly hurtful to them, or at least isn't trying to be good to them. It's really interesting to use the countdown and to put it into the words, because that's probably pretty restrictive in what you can write, having to squish that in. Like, having to put 10 in the first line probably impacted the fact that it was about the back and forth, because some of these ideas could have been in any order, but having to fit the countdown into there, it's really interesting. And to, like, have it so be some of the numbers are split across words, some of the numbers are at the start of words, some of the numbers are different words that sound the same. It's just a really interesting way to hide that countdown within the lines, and because of the, you know, the wordplay, it's puns. So, yeah. Yeah, I think it's really interesting. It's such an interesting way to do it. Yeah. And I mean, the fact that it goes from counting down in whole numbers to then the half almost suggests a hesitancy in the breaking up. I mean, you know, it's going to be difficult ending a relationship even if you know it's bad for you, right? So, you know, it's just, yeah, so it's so well done, so interesting, and I just love it. I love a lot about poetry. This one's really fun, though. Okay, so that brings us to the end of our episode. Thank you all for coming on this journey with me. I know that puns aren't everyone's cup of tea, but I really like them, so just finding poems with puns in it, and in two different ways as well, because in our first poem, Table Games, it was part of, like, it was openly discussed that there was puns going on, but it was hidden in Countdown to Heartbreak. So, you know, it's two different styles and two different ways of doing it that I think is really interesting. So thanks for coming on this sort of journey with me. Next week's episode, we are going to be talking about extended metaphors. Yeah, I think I'm going to have a good time with that one. There's a lot of, you know, extended metaphors that... There's a lot of poems that use extended metaphors really well. And I think just taking some time to dig further into the well of what poetry has extended metaphors and sort of what it's saying with extended metaphors, and taking the time to dig through the lines, because the extended metaphors can be a lot like that sometimes, you know. It's not always 100% clear because of the metaphor. It just sort of wraps it in a cocoon. But yeah, so join us next time, and I'll see you guys there.